knows what next week will be? Because
indeed, who knows? Does
when
Tansy
will
know?
My brain return from the war?
When will what? Sorry.
When will my brain return from the war?
It's been so long.
It
come
has.
Back, brain. Come back.
That's where I'm at in the pandemic. How are you?
Saturday afternoon, I actually got bored of the watching of films. And I don't think it's going to last. Instead of watching, you know, the Agnes Varda that Sara was screening, I took a break and did some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And
I totally lack the attention to actually watch a film anymore. Give me that Vine.
Oh.
Give me a Vine breakdown of your film, please.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is actually going to be a pretty short pitch.
Oh, that wasn't intended as a dig at your upcoming pitch. Oh. I just meant in general, I'm better off watching Vines than movies, but...
I didn't think it was a dig, but also I think it is actually going to be pretty straightforward. I'm feeling pretty prepared today.
Okay.
I say that, some of this is stuff that I wrote last night just before I went to bed, because I was like, I'll get it all out now, because I never do well if I'm, like, morning of.
Mm.
And some of it's weirdly scientific.
Yeah, well, full disclosure, last night Charles was like, are we going to record two episodes in one go? Have you got something to do? And I was like, let me think about it. And then you were like, but what song would you pitch? And I'm like, look, I'll level with you. No.
So, hold on. So not only, I didn't know that you'd started recording.
Oh, okay.
But also, yes, guess who's the most prepared one for once?
Yes.
It's me, baby. To kind of start bringing us back to the topic at hand.
When did we ever do that?
No. It's just because there's a story I want to tell.
Okay.
There's stuff I want to talk about.
Okay.
I found that I keep gravitating back to two different kinds of film, both of which are not really helpful in terms of, like, how to feel better about isolation or whatever.
Mm.
But they're just, these are the kinds of things that I want to watch. The first thing is zombie horror.
Okay.
Anything
you
with
watched,
zombie outbreak.
You watched Train to Busan recently?
Yes, I watched Train to Busan recently.
How good is Train to Busan?
So good.
Just
one quickly became one of my favorite zombie films.
I just
love because
the jacked
everyone in it.
Dad to be who's like, hey, I'm gonna take time out of this pandemic to talk shit about capitalism.
Like, yeah, yeah. And to just like neg this Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would let that jacked dad smash me like a zombie. No, but also just the fact that they're all, it's not that they're all making smart decisions, it's that they're all making human decisions,
like,
that you're like, yes, I would do that in that situation.
Yeah, there's nothing that you're like, ooh, trope. There are always things that you're like, I get it. Like, even if they're making bad decisions, you're like, I understand why you're doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I cried at the end.
Mm.
Good gracious. But yeah, so that's the first kind.
Uh-huh.
Of unhelpful film that I am enjoying watching at the moment. Mm-hmm. And the second kind is shit that happens in space.
Right.
And that's arguably unhelpful as well, because a lot of my favourite, like, space films or films set in space, films that have, like, space as a major theme, are also about being pretty fucking isolated. Yeah, so basically today I'm going to take the second of those two tropes and turn it into some fucking movie content.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is your cat sleeping near the microphone?
Oh god, can you hear that?
Yes.
Oh no, okay, hold on. So I do have to move them. Okay, hold on.
There's just this little quiet, like,
Yeah, she wasn't snoring,
oh my
and now
god.
She is.
That's the cutest
oh,
fucking
babies.
Thing I've ever heard.
Oh, babies. Okay, hold on. I have to leave you for a second to pick
no
him
problem.
Up. And I'm back.
He's back.
He back. Sorry about that.
No, that's
they,
adorable.
When I started recording, they were sleeping quietly.
Yeah.
But they have a tendency to snore.
Alrighty. So, people in space, also isolated, don't have cats unless they're Ripley.
No cats in this space.
Except for Ripley.
Sorry?
You know Ripley's got a cat, Jonesy?
Yeah. That's why I said no cats in this space.
Oh, and yeah, now that we have moved cats.
Anyway, have we even said what this show is?
I mean, there's an episode title. That'll help. But this is Pitch Shift. It's a show where we take songs and turn them into pitches for movies.
Yeah.
And this is our first, like, properly remote episode.
Yeah. This is the first episode of Pitch Shift at Home Edition.
Yeah.
Yes. So yes, I am Charles and...
And I'm Tansy. Shit, yeah. We haven't even introduced ourselves.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's all going out the window when I can't look into your eyes and be like, Tansy wants me to move on. Yes, but yes, I am pitching today. How this show works is that one of us will take a song, turn it into the pitch for a film, and pitch it to the other person. The other person acts like a producer, in this case, like a producer on the other end of a Zoom call.
Yeah, so... I'm a distanced Hollywood producer who couldn't be bothered getting out of bed to hear your pitch.
That sounds great. No, that's great. Love it. Yeah. Anyway.
Sussudio,
yes. Now, I told you that I was pitching this song a couple days ago.
I've had a strong listen. Is Sussudio meant to be someone's name?
So this is what I was. So I was going to ask, like, did you do any reading about the song?
No.
No, that's all good.
So tell me, I know Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, formerly drummer of Genesis, became one of those people who drums and sings, which is
like Finn on Glee.
Yeah. I feel like it worked for Gautier. It continue. I mean, I think it continues to work for Jack White. I don't think it works for Phil Collins, but hey. so this is classic Phil Collins. Very much sounds like a Prince song, mm-hmm. which he's like, oh yeah, I wanted it to sound like a Prince song because I like Prince, which is it. But yeah, okay. So I've got a quote from him explaining what a Sussudio is.
Okay. And I'm just going to read the quote. Phrased like Sussudio's a person in the song.
Yeah. Yes. But just let me get into it.
Okay.
So this is one of those examples of improvising lyrics. You know, sometimes you can use the lyric, other times you're in big trouble because what you write doesn't mean anything. So I set up this drum machine pad and I got some chords and I started to sing into the microphone and this word came out, which was Sussudio. It just came out at the time. That was back when I could dance. Debatable. I don't think you could ever dance. But anyway, so I kind of knew I had to find something else for that word. Then when I came back and tried to find another word that scanned as well as Sussudio, I couldn't find one. So I went back to Sussudio. So he has then said, yeah, it's like a made up name for a person. But also since then, his eldest daughter has a horse named Sussudio. So it's also the name of a horse.
I feel like, can you imagine introducing your little baby to the world and being like, this is our beautiful child, Sussudio.
Sussudio, yeah. Well, he's like, I feel like I probably have to apologize because there are probably some kids named Sussudio.
Oh, little baby sus. Susso.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, is it Sue space Studio? Like is her surname Studio?
Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Studio, your beautiful daughter Sue is here.
And like, not to get too like punch up the jam here, but I did make a list of a couple of things that fit in those number of syllables that could have worked. There's Michelangelo, water buffalo, archipelago, aspect ratio, or alternately, I mean, and this is kind of queering the song a little bit, Henry Dave Thoreau, which is my favorite, because it's like you're giving Henry David Thoreau a little nickname.
Yeah.
Henry Dave.
All right. Do you want to actually get onto your pitch?
Yeah. So
let's pitch this shift.
So where I started with this was starting from kind of where we're like what we were talking about before, the idea that Sussudio is the name of a person. And I was like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
It does not. Sussudio sounds more like a mostly frozen dessert than a person.
It could be that indeed. What I thought was, what I ended up going with is kind of sounds like the name of a planet.
Oh.
So that's where we're starting with. Now, I thought long and hard about who I should cast as the lead in this.
Oh, God damn it. The moratorium so far.
No. That's not who you think. I thought long and hard, and I went through several, you know, options, like Fassbender, and there was someone else. Anyway, basically what I'm saying is I went with Jill.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
This is in the Gyllenhaal Hall of Fame.
Yes, this is going in the Gyllenhaal Hall of Fame. The Gyllenhaal. Hall of Fame as Dr. Frederick Lang.
Okay.
Who is an eccentric scientist.
Is his nickname Fritz?
You better believe it. Well, actually, no. His nickname, we will learn, is Starfucker. But he is named Frederick Lang because it sounds kind of like Fritz Lang. Yes. Yeah.
Look at me picking up on the Easter eggs. Yeah. What is this?
I'm so glad that you picked up on that, because otherwise I was going to have to later be like, did you see what I did there with the thing?
Look, I've been just like putting in symbolism and planting and payoff in everything that I've written recently. I've just been like, there. Just tie the room together. So I am like switched on to that shit. Because I have no ideas, so I'm just putting symbolism into shit.
Yeah, no, I love it. But okay, so the first thing we see is, so we kind of come up on like the celestial black.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that we start to notice is a mysterious speck in the distance. And it grows in the frame.
Moving towards it, or is it moving towards us?
We're moving towards it.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to, eventually we realize it's a planet. It's like a gas planet, but it doesn't look like anything in our own solar system.
Mm-hmm.
We
got a color for it.
In my head, like a purple.
Okay.
Very genderqueer looking planet. And then we get this, and so some of what you're about to hear is based on some research that I did last night, because I fucking love
research.
Space and exoplanets
podcast?
Are interesting. Yeah, you bet, baby. So we get this all in voiceover. I assume it's Gyllenhaal doing the voiceover. And it's K2-146b is a gas planet orbiting an M-type star in the constellation system. It is one of several hundred exoplanets discovered in 2018, but the only one to orbit K2-146. 5.7 times the size of Earth, it orbits closer to the star than Earth does to the Sun, closer even than Mercury. It has surface conditions similar to that of Neptune in noticeably brighter colours. It is also known as Susudio. And then we get our needle drop of, you know, the beginning of the song. And we meet Dr. Frederick Lang, who is a NASA scientist and general dropper
Star
of things, fucker. Forgetter of names, and kind of Goldblum type.
Mm-hmm.
Goldblum was another one that I considered for this, but he's gross.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, Jeff Goldblum sucks.
Yeah.
So we get that kind of... you know, beginning of Zodiac style sequence of like, we're watching Gyllenhaal as Lang kind of get himself ready for work. He goes into work. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, as per usual, everyone's calling out greetings to him. And they all call him Starfucker. And he's like, don't call me that. Because it's kind of weird. And also, have you met me? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, it's stuff like people are like, oh, yeah, you get up to much this weekend, Starfucker. And he's like, do you think I got up to much? Like, do you think I did anything? And they're like, oh, ha, 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 ha. Anyway. And by the way, this is maybe like 10, 15 years in the future.
Yeah.
I'm thinking a lot of it is going to look the same, but appreciably worse and uglier.
Yeah,
and
a bit of a Brad Astra kind of look.
Yes, yeah, yeah, like and yeah, taller buildings, more heavily air conditioned buildings. People mm-hmm. wear face masks and are social distancing regardless, because
mm-hmm.
you know that's my theory that we're all just gonna get
used to more and more
of these fucking diseases again and again and again.
Woo.
Not to be dark. Mm-hmm. Absolutely to be dark. But anyway, yeah, so we see, you know, Lang seems to be like a supremely uncomfortable person a lot of the time,
mm-hmm.
but also kind of like lonely.
Yeah.
Like that he's like, I'm really uncomfortable around people, but I would like to be loved,
so
please.
Lonely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Much like myself. but he makes it through various labs. I don't know how fucking NASA is set up.
Mm-hmm.
And finally he gets to his sanctum, which is the Kepler Space Telescope. It's a special telescope that's not going to be around for long.
Yeah.
And so he gets himself set up and he looks over his readings from the weekend. And there she is, Susudio. And we see the little grainy, like, telescope photography kind of...
Yeah.
Like, it's like a speck. And mm-hmm. he's like, ah... Ah, there she is. And it's, like, not fully weird yet.
But it's
but
a
we're
bit
like,
weird.
Yeah, but we're like, this man's...
He wants to fuck the moon.
Well, so basically, we set up that he's kind of obsessing over this planet in the absence of anything in his personal life.
Yep.
And we can... I feel like we get this through, like, you know, he goes to see his therapist or something. And it's that kind of thing of like, oh, you know, and I'm quoting the song here. Oh, she makes me nervous. You know, she doesn't even know my name, but I think she likes me all the same.
Oh, no. Frederick.
Yeah, and the therapist is like, sorry, wait, what are you talking about? I thought you were still talking about work. Have you met someone? He's like, what do you mean? It's like, you just said, you know, she doesn't know your name, but she like, have you met someone? Because that's really good. And he's like, no, I was talking about Sussudio.
He's found someone.
The therapist
someone.
Is like takes off glasses, like,
oh boy,
like face in palm, and is like,
my dude.
Look, I know I'm not meant to be judgmental, but sometimes you really fucking test me, Lang. And, you know, he's talking about the fact that he's like, ah, you know, I feel like I get bullied at work. They all call me Starfucker because they think that...
I want to fuck the moon.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not even fair. Like, she's not a star. This is not a comedy, by the way.
Oh,
this
great.
Just has, like... It has, like, big, you know...
Big comedy beats.
Look, been watching a lot of, like, 80s... horror and sci-fi as well, and a lot of that has just like, he wants to fuck the planet kind of energy. I'm gonna whiz through this. Is the, all of this happens in act one.
Mm-hmm.
We set up that whole thing. We set up he's got a sister. I think the sister is played
Maggie.
By Rebecca Ferguson.
Why not Maggie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you could do that.
You know how he has a real sister?
Yeah, he has a real sister in real life.
Yeah.
Who has been in the movie with him. Which I believe was a struggle for them.
Oh.
But so the reason why I said Rebecca Ferguson is because most of the rest of the cast of this are my fave actors who have been in space shit that I like.
Okay. So Rebecca Ferguson from Life, Jake
yes,
Gyllenhaal.
She's been in Life.
From Life.
Also from Life.
Ryan
I thought
Reynolds.
Rebecca Ferguson was in another. No, Ryan Reynolds is not in this film.
Oh.
I don't know where I would have fit him in. Yeah, yeah. He's the therapist.
Ryan Reynolds would be great as the therapist who's just like, I know I'm not meant to judge you, but yeah, you're making it real fucking hard today, Frederick.
Holy shit.
Freddy boy.
And do one of those, you know, he's like, holy penguin tits. Like,
is it just me or like, it's not as bad as Henry Cavill, but like Ryan Reynolds almost sounds as uncomfortable swearing, even though he does it a lot. Like, it's that weird thing where I'm like, this sounds somehow wrong out of your mouth.
It's more, I think it's less that it's uncomfortable and more that it sounds really performative.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, holy
like, the way that Deadpool does it is
shit.
Always like, look, like, I'm swearing, ah, ha ha ha.
Yeah, whereas, like, actual swearing is like, ah, shit. Like,
yeah, and it's always some kind of creative
yeah.
swear word
yeah.
invention thing.
Holy shit balls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Look,
Jesus fucking polar bears, like whatever yeah. the
look, as someone whose book opens with the phrase fuck me dead, I yeah. care a lot about realistic depictions of swearing.
I mean, that is incredibly realistic
yeah.
as far as Australian swearing goes. Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. I guess maybe Ryan Reynolds plays
the
therapist in like one scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, so essentially all of the things that happened in Act 1, we set all of that up. They tell him that they're pulling him back from the research that he's currently doing, because it's, like, low-key, they're, like,
budget
working
cuts.
On... Sorry?
Budget cuts and...
Well, so what it is that they're kind of low-key working on interstellar travel,
mm-hmm.
like interstellar, and the idea of, like, kind of prepping for worst-case scenario... Will humanity have to do some
live
form of exogenesis and go live somewhere else?
Yeah.
And so the system that he's been kind of doing his research in, the system in which he found
the cancer
his
system.
Sweet love, Sussudio, but also just in general, that kind of area of the sky, they're like, yep, we don't think we found anything there that is habitable, so we're going to pull you off this and get you somewhere else. And he's mm-hmm. like, no.
But my love, Sussudio.
No, don't do it. And he's like, but there's so much more I need to find out about her. And they're like, I'm going to need you to stop calling the planet her.
Yeah. I'm going to need you
it's
to
not
stop
a ship.
Full stop.
It's not a ship. And just, can you do the research? Because we need to find, you know, some places that maybe are habitable. And he's like, you don't know that she's not habitable. And they're like,
oh, no.
I don't know. We're pretty sure that she's not. And he's like, ah. And then at the same time, we get something traumatic that happens in his personal life, which... Just to like pick something out of
just to woobify
you know,
this
most
boy.
Films, yeah. Well, but just it's a kind of to pick something from a bunch of different films. I guess would be that like his dad dies. just because it's like, you know, why does a cis white man have a mental breakdown
Dad.
In his personal life ever? I guess because of that. And, you know, so he's got sister who's kind of always been, she's also smart, but she's like a psychotherapist or something, which kind of makes it even worse because she's always like, hey, you need to deal with your problems. And he's like, ew, you're my sister. Mm-hmm. Maybe it could be Maggie. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I want Rebecca Ferguson in this film. But that kind of, the combination of work life and personal life kind of having this eruption, mm-hmm. He copes with this by fully just falling in love with this planet.
Aww, my
you know,
boy.
We get a moment where, like, again, quoting the song, give me a chance, give me a sign. And, like, the lyric that's like, if she called me, I'd be there, you know.
Mm.
He's, like, you know, late at night, like, looking at her, and he's like, just give me a sign. Give me a sign. And
like,
then you see,
is
like,
he looking, like, through the telescope or just up at the stars being like, that's the star that it goes around?
I think it would be that he's looking up through, that he's looking through the telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some form of, like, flare or, I mean, it's not a sun, so it can't have, like, a solar flare, but, like, some form of change where he's like, oh, my God.
She's
oh my God, that's
calling
it.
Me.
She's calling out my name. Da, 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 da. Yeah. And so meanwhile, all of this has been happening, they're at like a critical interstellar mission has been organized. It's kind of, you know, it's going to be like first attempt to send humans outside of Earth's solar system.
Mm-hmm.
Yada,
they've got
yada.
Some dark matter engine or some shit like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like, yeah, it's that, it's like a, you know, a fudge of like, oh, I didn't realize that NASA had cracked, you know, that, like, fast space travel yet,
yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we just didn't tell anybody because blah, 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 Space Force.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so it's, like, a crew of people who are fully aware that they may well die in space, but, like, it's a chance to see if the plan to, like, move everyone to another planet at some point is
it's
even
viable.
Possible.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really name any of the characters who are members of this team.
There's
Matt
team.
Damon.
So, Matt Damon's there.
Yes. Yeah, so, no, Matt Damon is head of NASA.
Okay.
Just so he can, like, choose some scenery and do a little bit of character acting, which he's quite good at. What have we got there? Zoe Saldana is the leader of the mission. Because
I want
Zoes in space. And I want some Zoes in space that don't have to be...
A colour. A bright colour, to be more specific.
And also we're not ever having to play second fiddle to a white man. Like, she's in charge, and
she's
competent, capable.
Yep.
Yeah, I am the captain now. Yeah, so we've got Zoe Saldana, Matt Damon's head of NASA. The team, I think the rest of the team, Ethan Hawke. Yeah, we could put a Grillo in there.
Yeah.
But Ethan Hawke, Jessica Chastain, and Kelly Marie Tran, because I want all my faves in space.
Yeah.
I want all my space faves in space.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Hawke, obviously, Gattaca, Jessica Chastain, Interstellar, and The Martian. She's never actually in space in any of those, but she's my space baby.
Yeah.
And Kelly Marie Tran, obviously, of all of those Phantom Menace sequels that she was in. And then also we've got Donald Glover, who is like a technician. He's like an engineer. He's like working on the ship, but he is in no way meant to be on the mission.
Mm-hmm.
So we set all that up. And then end of act one is that...
Jilly sneaks aboard.
No. So Lang is like, you know, she gave me a sign. She gave me a sign. I have to go. So he, and I don't know, and I don't know how he manages to do this. Just fully steals the ship. Fully steals the spaceship and
Wait,
is like...
is anyone else on it or is it just him?
The only... So we'll get to that in a second. So he thinks he thinks it's empty. That he shouldn't be able to, like, do this, but for whatever reason kind of has the right amount of clearance that he can be like, yep, cool. And, like... there's kind of whatever kind of redundancies that are like that allow him to kind of autopilot it out of into, you know, into outer space. So the only person who still is on the ship is obviously Donald Glover.
Of course.
The only person who could not be of any help.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so we get kind of just like one of those scenes where it's like people coming in the morning and it's like, yeah, cool, gonna work on the thing. Gonna work on the, you know, gotta work on the ship. Where's the ship?
No.
Why weren't they alerted immediately? You'd think that NASA would have better security. I don't know. The only guy who knew the ship was being taken was on the ship and doesn't have any training for this. And so we begin the space adventure part of this.
Uh-huh.
It's relatively quick going from here on in.
Okay.
Because I kind of just have like the beats.
The skeleton.
I haven't filled it in with too much emotion because a lot of it is just going to be like, him being like, oh, I have to find her, and then being like, we are not here to tolerate your, I just, like, you know, because you know how a lot of movies will do that thing where it's like, he's difficult and he has emotional problems, but he's a genius, and we have to help him, we have to protect him.
The worst just example like, no. of this I can think of is Ad Astra, where he just, like, he kills many people to go and rescue his dad, and then his like, dad dies anyway, and it's like, it's this thing where, like, yeah, they're like, he's difficult, but he's good. And you're like, fuck
And also,
off.
Isn't it not, like, doesn't he kind of fuck with the mission?
Yeah, he fucks with many people's missions, and a lot of people die.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's essentially what he's doing is a similar thing, except that instead of trying to save his dad, because his dad's dead.
He's trying to fuck the moon.
Trying to fuck this gas planet. And there, so everyone's kind of response isn't so much like, you know, we need you to come home because you're so important. It's like, you are not only breaking,
space
you
law.
Know, space law is kind of like pirate law, because you can't colonize space. It's like, not only are you breaking, like, NASA rules, you're breaking every kind of law that there is.
We want our ship back.
You need to get back here so we can put you in jail forever, but also because we need that ship. That ship has so... And it's the kind of thing where it's like, we're not, you know, we don't want to rescue him necessarily. I mean, obviously, they don't want him to die, but, like,
but
it's more
that
it's like,
back.
There's so much equipment and technology and et cetera that's on that ship. Because we were getting ready to go. We were going to be going relatively soon, and he's just fucking taken the... So they would want to get him back anyway, but A, he's got someone else in the ship, and B, all of this fucking expensive stuff. So they send up Zoe and Jessica Chastain and Kelly Marie Tran. I think those are the three that they send, and then everyone else is like the ground people.
Yeah.
And it's like in a ship that's like it's a similar ship, but it's maybe like less ready.
Yeah.
In an attempt to like cut him off, and their thinking is sort of like he's not going to get far. He doesn't know how to fly the thing. Like we don't understand how he's been able to get as far as he has.
But little do they know that Don Glover is there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by now they know, and they're just like, you know. It's all right, Donald, we're coming for you. We're not going to let this madman, like... Meanwhile, we see Jake Gyllenhaal and Donald Glover. Oh my God.
Kicking off
space. I just had a vision of how delightfully chaotic
the entire
that would
energy.
Be on screen, but also to film.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt that the both of them would be just wild.
Yeah.
So Glover's kind of getting over the fact that he's like, oh my God, I'm in space. What the fuck, I'm in space. Kind of moves past that. Lang is very unhelpful because he's not good at people. He's just good at planets.
He just want to fuck that moon.
But eventually it's kind of like, so dude, what are you doing? Like, did you just lose your mind? And Lang is like, okay, here's the thing. I've been working on this for so long. And they pulled it away from me, but I'm not done yet. I really do think that this system has the answers we're looking for, and I can't stand the way that we do things where it's like, if it's looking like something might not be successful, we just have to like cut our losses and move on to the next thing. And Glover's kind of like, yeah, I mean, we're not exactly like lousy with time to spare here. Like, you know, you've seen that shit about the earthquakes and the fires and the like, it's getting worse. And
we need to find that other planet, and we can't waste time on ones that you think are pretty.
yeah, and he's like, no, it's not that. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, it, like, dude, I've heard you talking to the planet. And so, yeah, it's kind of the, like, you know how, like, particularly on stuff like Atlanta, Donald Glover has that thing where he can portray that he's deeply annoyed or angry about something, but at the same time is kind of, like,
trying to be
weird
chill.
And chill about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's kind of got that energy. Kind of the energy that he had in The Martian.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're just a little weirdo, aren't you? But he's a weirdo who understands that you can't... And he's like, you can't just blast off into space.
To try and fuck a moon.
Because you like a planet.
Yeah.
What makes you think... This was always going to be a one-way trip, and you're not even sure about this planet. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah, so... so we kind of... For the rest of the kind of... second act, we cut back and forth between the two ships, mm-hmm. and it's that kind of that ongoing thing of like, ah, he's close, we got him. Oh God, how did he work out how to go to, you know, to jump to hyperspace effectively? Yeah. what is it that Poe does in The Rise of Skywalker that's shifty? Light speed skipping.
Yeah, yeah. He which steals some special effects from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And...
Yeah. He jumps so fast, but everyone's like, that's too good ship flying. Did you deal drugs? And he's like, yes, I did.
I know you don't really care about Clone Wars, but in the new episodes, there is a point where Ahsoka starts dealing spice accidentally. And it's like, Star Wars is really committed to the idea of be gay, do crimes.
That's great.
Anyway.
Yeah, so it keeps being that thing where it's like, oh, you know, we can almost, like, we can dock, we can do an imperfect lock sequence, like, in Interstellar. And then he'll be like, skip, like, whoopsie-daisy, like, oh, I accidentally got us closer to the goal. So the whole thing, and it kind of like, you know, that tone of that hugely comedic best comedy at the Golden Globes tone of The Martian, mm-hmm. Where at every turn people are like, he's not gonna be able to do that. Oh, he did?
Oh,
he's not gonna be able to do that though. Oh no, he did. Oh, he did that. Oh, he did that.
Is anyone picking up on a pattern here?
What? That he just,
that when we say he can't do stuff.
Yeah.
He do.
There's like just multiple scenes where Matt Damon's like tearing his hair out in fury and being like, get him back, and like at one point is like, stop saying that you he can't do things, because every time you say it he does the thing. Yeah, so you know, Matt Damon's tearing his hair out, mm-hmm. They're trying to, and they're like, can we remotely like control the ship? And I feel like, you know, over the course of the second act we get to the point where Donald Glover is kind of, it's not that he's like convinced, but he's like, look, if we're doing this, I guess
like, I better help you.
Like, I guess there's nothing else.
I go to jail for space crimes too.
Yeah, but he's like, well, I mean, I've been kidnapped, so.
Yeah. I got Stockholm syndrome here, guys.
Like the you know, the strongest chance that we have of not dying here is that I help you get to where you want, so you're not like panic jumping us all the way across the galaxy.
Yeah.
And I feel like then you get like kind of like peak of act two, like kind of that kind of climactic moment is some form of like meteor storm. And it's like, oh, we got to dodge the meteors, you know, like any of those.
Oh, meteors.
Movies.
I thought you said media. Like, as in,
it's
like,
the meteor storm.
Media.
Yeah. That bit where Jeff Daniels in The Martian has to deal with people being like, why the fuck is this guy still in space? Except with this, it's like, why the fuck is this guy still in space? And Matt Damon's like, he shouldn't be.
I agree,
understand.
Guys. Why the fuck is he in space?
Yeah, that's a great question. Why don't you ask the people who made this spaceship? Because I didn't make the spaceship. Yeah, oh, just an absolute nightmare of bureaucracy on Earth. But I wouldn't want to spend as long on that as, say, The Martian does.
Yeah.
Because The Martian spends a fuck ton of time on Earth for a film about Mars.
Yeah.
I think this is just me trying to get out all
Are
of
you
my...
You're just trying to movie maintenance The Martian.
Yeah, kind of. Well, The Martian and also Brad Astra and also Interstellar.
So all the space movies.
And also, I mean, not so much Life, because Life is more about... the aliens. And also, yeah, I'll say it on Maine, Life is a good film. I see people saying that it's not a good film, people saying that it's a generic space alien horror that it copied Alien. No. Life is a good film. It's a beautiful, poetic film. Anyway.
Anyway.
That's life. That's Life Talk with Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, meteor storm. It's looking
they
pretty grim.
They dodged their meteors.
Yeah, but it's kind of in general looking pretty grim, and it's like we might not make it through this meteor storm, and also now I'm hearing myself say meteor.
Yeah.
This meteor storm, this storm of meteors, and also like the other ship. You know, we don't want the other ship to, like, if you keep going, like, if he keeps going.
We're going to be putting other people in danger.
Yeah, yeah, he's fully putting other people's lives at risk. So he's kind of like, okay, contact the other ship. And it's like, I'm going to let you have, I'm going to give you back Glover, but I'm not coming with you.
And they're like, we weren't really concerned about you. It's mostly the ship that we're after. Yeah. So if you take the ship, this is still a problem.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. So what it is he's like, yeah, I'm going to give you back Glover. And they're like, okay, but you know, you need to get back onto this ship as well. And what he does is like ejects himself in an escape pod. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yep, cool. You can take the ship back as well. Wasn't using it, you know? And they're like, what are you doing? This is an even worse idea. Like how are you going to survive? Until he's like, I don't know. I just, you know, I gotta. I feel so good if I just say the word Susudio, and they're like, you need foodio. Like,
you need therapeutio.
Therapeutio and foodio. Through all of this, I feel like they've been getting the therapist on the comms.
To call in.
They've been getting the sister on the comms. The sister and the therapist, the sister and the therapist are fighting about how best to treat him. The sister's like, you can't swear at him like that. Like, that's not.
Like,
and Ryan Reynolds is like, I fucking can. Like, oh my God. Yeah, he over enunciates every single thing he says.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's in the. And then, so this is kind of. This would be like an homage to one of my favorite space movies. 2001,
A Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Susudio Space Odyssey.
Yeah. That bit, the bit where he's kind of in the little, it's like, it's basically like an escape pod, like a single person. And he's going through the bit towards the end where it gets really trippy.
Yeah.
So it'd be a kind of like that. And they're still able to communicate with him for now. And again, it's that thing where it's like, how the fuck is this dude still alive?
Yeah.
He's not going to make it, blah, 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 blah. Against all odds, he does. And so they're able to get, like, you know, readings that I don't know why the escape pod has readings. Mm. Maybe it's an observation pod.
Maybe he took some reedy things.
Yeah.
Took a thermometer.
Or, yeah, or it's a little pod specifically to be able to observe.
Pod.
So that, like, they don't have the interstellar problem where it's like, we got to go to this one planet and then this other planet. Instead, it's like, we've got three pods in here so we can chuff off to three different planets at the same time, come back and be like, is this habitable?
Yeah.
So he's getting readings and they're like, oh my God, there's not this planet, not Susudio, but a planet in this same kind of orbiting system. Oh my God, it looks like it might be habitable. I mean, we need to get people... feet on the ground, like, oh my God, Lang, you dumb piece of shit.
You may accidentally
have done it. And it's like very, you know, very emotional.
You fucked the moon
like,
and saved us all.
But like at this point, so it's that thing where it's like, if you can change course for that planet, like, I mean, and Zoe Saldana's given him like encouraging, you know, I'm the captain now speech, and she's like, you know, obviously I'm not wild about the fact that you're doing this, but you've been continuing to do it, and against all odds, you have almost completed a mission that you are in no way equipped or qualified to take part in. So here's the thing: we need you to. I know you want to see your planet, but I need you to just like veer just a little bit and land on this other planet because we think that one actually. It might be perfect.
Yeah.
It's got really good readings. So you just gotta, you know, like, I know you've been on this journey and I know you care about this as much as I do. So, like, blah, 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 all of that kind of thing. But he's like, anyway. And so like the film kind of ends with this idea of like, oh wow, he actually accidentally, and we're fully like, we're not exonerating him because he did crimes of the Earth and the space variety and nearly got some people killed. No one dies in this movie because I don't feel like it in this day and age.
No.
In this economy, no one dies.
Except the dad.
Oh, yeah, but the dad, I mean, I don't think we even meet the dad. the dad is a motivating concept. And kind of everyone's like, Jesus Christ, this man who we hate has sort of kind of almost done it. Hold on, where did he go? And so what then Lang does, and these will be the final shots of the film, because we're just getting weird, he's like, okay, it's time to meet Bay. He's like continuing to approach Sussudio. He strips down, he leaves the ship. And he just, and the last thing that we see is him floating very naked and eventually very, very dead.
Yeah, wouldn't he just boil or something or freeze? Like, it's space.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, the amount of space films that you see that don't do that bit properly, that are like,
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
I suppose in Interstellar he does have a space suit on when he's just floating through open space and then is sucked into a fucking... Listen, if Matthew McConaughey could be sucked into a black hole, then Jake Gyllenhaal can not immediately explode or implode or burst into flames upon leaping out of the... I feel like you'd see it slowly happen as he's drifting towards, you know, this great purple mass.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the film.
That's the end of the film.
When you say it out loud like that, it sounds silly.
The real question is, does he fuck the moon?
I mean, I think the moon fucks him. And also, it's a planet. It's not a moon.
Yeah, sorry. Does he fuck the planet?
I think it fucks him. Okay. I think she fucks him. I think he's the bottom in this scenario in which he's just like floating into it.
My one note would be,
yes, you have note.
You know how you said that you didn't want Zoe Saldana to be playing second fiddle to a white guy?
Yeah. But what I meant is
she does.
No. When I said second fiddle, I mean in terms of the chain of command.
Right. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, obviously, you know, she's a secondary character in this. It's not like this is Star-Lord.
Yeah.
And Star-Lord's actually the boss, whereas she's infinitely more competent.
Yeah.
Or Pandora. What's that fucking Avatar? Is what the name of the film is, not the name of the planet. Or Uhura. Like, it's more that it's like I wanted her to be the captain.
Yeah. She's the captain.
No, this is still, it's still very much a story in which the white man is the protagonist, but where
where he wants to fuck the moon.
Yeah, and we're engaging with the ways in which often stories in which the white man is the protagonist and wants to go on a suicide mission are really stupid.
Yeah.
Because this is a film in which everyone is like, you are really stupid.
Yeah. I like it. All right, let's do some shuffle round. I have ideas, apparently. We're just going to shuffle some Phil Collins songs, and I need to come up with super quick film ideas. It's like a very short version of the rest of the show.
Your first shuffle round is You Can't Hurry Love. This is also sort of relevant to the general isolation theme.
Yeah.
Because I do need love to ease my mind.
But you can't hurry it. You've got to flatten that curve.
Yeah, you can't hurry a pandemic. You just have to wait.
Okay, I have an idea, but I feel like it's not what you'd want.
It doesn't matter what I want. It's about what you want.
I feel like it is very standard for me to be like, you know, these films that get made, what about a film that points out how fucked those are? But like, just like a nice guy best friend kind of character who's like, oh boy, I'm just waiting for my shot, waiting for this shot with the high school sweetheart love of my life. who is very much like, this is my friend who I have never considered as a romantic option. Yeah. And this
is Annabelle. I always do her homework.
Yes, yes, this is Annabelle's homework.
Throwback.
But yeah, maybe even like, just very clear that the other person is not interested. But it's like, I'm just, you know, how many heartbreaks do I have to watch them have before we're finally together? And it's like, it's never going to happen. And just the slow mental unraveling of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't hurry, love.
Yeah, just like a slowed down version of that on the trailer.
So, but my mama said, and she's like, I don't give a fuck what your mother said. Stop calling her mama.
Yeah.
You're
that's
fully
weird,
an adult
mate.
Now.
All right, what's next?
Let's see, what's next? Ooh. I'm interested to see what you come up with for this. Another Day in Paradise.
Ooh.
Perfect.
It just be Parasite? Can I just pitch Parasite?
I mean, sure.
Another Day for You in Parasite.
Another Day for You and Me in Parasite. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think twice?
Oh.
When she cries out for the man on the street and he can see that she's been crying?
Oh, boy. Oh, Phil. You try. You really do.
And she's not got shoes on and she's, like, upset, but he, like, crosses the road. Do you think twice about that? Do you ever think twice about that, Tansy? About that ultra-specific scenario in which a man is a dick to a homeless person?
Yeah, I feel like you can't really... Yeah, you can't do a direct film of this without it coming across as, like, that particular part of the film industry that's like, this is important. And it's like, wow, you guys really don't know any poor people. It's like that...
Yeah, no, so it can be Parasite 2.
Yeah, it was a viral tweet. Which,
the squeakle.
You know, but it was this tweet, the like poor characters written by poor people. It's like, oh no, I'm behind on my rent and my car is making a weird noise now. And it's like poor characters written by rich people. It's like, oh no, these beautiful rich people will never accept me.
Yeah. That is,
yeah.
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 Yep. So that was,
yeah. Parasite 2, the squeakle.
Another Day in Parasite. Parasite 2, Another Day in Parasite. It's what you're going to call it.
It's where a new family moves into the house and, you know, Kang Song-ho is still in there. They got to deal with this other parasite.
Like, really? Again?
Yeah, that's the tagline. Parasite 2, Another Day in Parasite. Really? Again?
Really? How? Why? And your final shuffle round, just take a look at me now, Tans. I mean, you can't, we're not looking at each other.
No.
But take a look at me now, because there's just an empty space. How can I just let you walk away? Just let you leave without a trace? When I stand here taking every breath with you. Ooh, you're the only one who really knew me at all. Against All Odds is your final shuffle challenge pitch. Just realised that I'm going to have Phil Collins songs in my head for the rest of the day now.
Okay, I have kind of an idea.
I played myself. Yeah?
So, like, two former cellmates from prison.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them probably got let out a bit earlier and was like, yeah, I'll look after you when you mm-hmm. actually get on the outside. We'll catch up then. And I'm not sure which would be which, but basically on the outside, one of them is very much like, I want to move on and like not be defined by the fact that I was previously mm-hmm. in prison. And the other one is like, nah, this is all I have. You know, my entire identity is tied.
How could I just let you walk away?
Yeah. Yeah. And it would probably be a sad melodrama with lots of like long lingering shots of low socioeconomic areas where people live and, you know, all of the problems of trying to get a job when you have a criminal record. And, yeah, just kind of sad like that.
Rad. I like it. So yep. take a look at my jail cell now.
Yeah.
Because there's just an empty space.
Yeah.
Where my friend used to also be imprisoned.
Yeah.
that concludes.
Yeah, that's our
shuffle round.
Yeah, and our first distance pitches.
Yeah. I think we're gonna get good at this.
Yeah.
In the same way that we started out not being that good at doing a podcast when we were sitting face to face.
But now
and then we got better at that.
We're all right at it.
Now we're like pretty comfortably mediocre at it.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna get better at this.
Yeah.
If you think that we're gonna get better at this, then you should
subscribe.
Like, share and subscribe. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, on Pocket Cast, and on Stitcher, which is the one that I use. I couldn't even.
We have a Twitter.
We're on Twitter and Instagram at PitchShiftPod. I am always on that Twitter, so if you ever have an idea for a song that we should do, or if you just want to chat about an episode or about us or what we're watching. Everyone should watch Corona Zombies. It's so dumb, but also so great, and only an hour long. You know, keep in touch, because we're all so lonely. I don't know. Do you have anything else to? Do you have anything to plug, Tansy?
I don't know. My brain broke. Brain gone.
Your brain did broke.
Make bread.
Well, isn't it good that we decided that we were only going to do
one episode
today?
Yeah,
because we're both like
brain broke, make bread. That's all I have to plug.
something that's not mine that I'll plug anyway. Static Vision, which is a Sydney based
yes.
film
cool
screening
people.
bunch of folks have been doing weekly Friday night live streams. They're like 6 hours long, and then they'll screen like some shorts. Often they'll do like they'll have like a feature, and then, you know, maybe a Q&A with the director of that feature. It's a lot of weird stuff, a lot of stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like by donation. So if you want something to look forward to in your weeks, like, honestly, like, one of my favorite things about it, other than just like watching films is fun, is the fact that I know that I've got a thing on at the end of the week where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to tune into this thing.
Nice.
And it's like an event, but I did it, but I'm in my house. So that's Static Vision. They're on Facebook and Instagram and stuff.
Anyway, stay sane, stay safe, don't try to fuck the moon.
Don't fuck a planet. Yeah. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Just life hack. Don't fuck
the moon.
This podcast is recorded on Wurundjeri land. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this is and always will be Aboriginal land.